Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness. Tonight we're going to talk about worship, okay? Worship, it's a privilege. I think that's something that we don't realize a lot of times is worship is a privilege. It's not just something that we have to do. Worship is something that we get to do. And I believe that God could have made us to where he forced us to worship, but God doesn't force us to worship. He gives us the opportunity to worship. He gives us the privilege to worship. It is a responsibility as a believer, but it's a responsibility. You know, there's two different ways to look at responsibility. You can look at it as a burden or you can look at it as a privilege, right? And to me, the responsibility to worship, because Jesus said, I said it Sunday, if you don't cry out or if they don't cry out, the rocks will cry out. So there's a responsibility for him to be glorified and honored, but it's not a burden. It's a privilege that I get to have, that you get to have as the sons and daughters of God, that we get to worship him, pay homage to him, respect him, honor and glorify him. And you know what I've noticed about worship is sometimes you don't feel like it. Sometimes you just don't feel like worshiping. There's times in my life I don't feel like worshiping. There's times in my life when I go in my office at home in the morning, I don't feel like getting my guitar down and playing and singing. I just feel like sitting there. There's sometimes that I don't feel like worshiping and praising. Today, there was a moment where it was beautiful outside, okay? Right this afternoon, how many of you guys noticed? How many of you guys were stuck inside on a beautiful day like me today? Okay, I was studying, getting ready for tonight, and there was something just calling me outside. And I was like, no, I need to be faithful to stay in here and get my sermon completed and finished. And I just had to start worshiping and praising the Lord. God, thank you that I get to preach tonight. Thank you that, you know, I get to be in church tonight. And sometimes you just have, because worship changes your attitude. It changes your position. It changes your posture. And sometimes you don't feel like it, but it always makes you feel better. That's what I love about worship. Sometimes you don't feel like worshiping, but when you truly worship, you will always feel better on the other side of worship. It's the perfect medicine. Every time that you apply worship to your life, it will shift your situation. It will change your atmosphere. It will change the way you think about things, the way that you see things, the way that you process things. Have you ever noticed that before, that when you really give yourself to worship, when you truly honor God, it ends up changing your attitude? It ends up changing your outlook. It ends up changing your mindset and the way that you process life. And so when you're having a frustrating day, when you're having a hard time being motivated, when you're dealing with somebody that, you know, maybe you got a boss or maybe you got an overseer, maybe you got a manager, maybe you got a coworker that it's just frustrating, right? There's some people that they're just frustrating. And turn and decide, instead of getting frustrated, instead of getting down, instead of getting upset, that you're going to take that energy and you're going to put it on glorifying the Lord, that you're going to worship him. Listen, you don't have to have both hands stretched up high and belting at the top of your lungs to worship God. You can, inside of your heart, begin to say, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be upon my mouth. God, I worship you today. I honor you. I magnify you. When you take your bathroom break, you know, or your, you know, your smoke break, I'm just kidding. When you take whatever kind of break, smoking won't send you to hell, folks. It'll just make you smell like you've been there. Okay. I'm just kidding. It's a joke. All right. But when you take your break from work, let it be a worship break. Instead of just a Mountain Dew break or a coffee break or a bathroom break, let it be a praise break and decide, I'm going to take this time. I've got 5 minutes at 11 o'clock that I get to go and take a break. I'm going to praise God for 5 minutes. I'm going to drink my coffee while I do it, but I'm going to praise God with this moment and this time that I have. And what you do when you worship is you're setting your eyes on the Lord, right? You are looking to him. And so what you can choose to do in that moment is you are choosing to set your eyes on perfection. You are choosing to set your mind on the one that loves you unconditionally. You are saying, God, I'm not going to look at the frustrating situation. I'm not going to look at the dangerous situation. Remember when Peter was walking on the water, when he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to look at the waves, he began to sink. You will sink in discouragement. You will sink in frustration. You will sink in negativity that is all around you if you don't keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And that's why David said, I will bless the Lord all the time. When I'm at work, when I'm at home, when I'm driving, I'm going to bless God all the time, because when I bless God and when I praise him, what I'm doing is I'm keeping my eyes fixed on him. I'm setting my mind on Him. We're going to give Him glory and honor. And you know what I love about God is you can't outgive God. You've probably said that, or you heard that said before. You've probably said that before yourself. So even when you're focused on glorifying God, He's focused on empowering you. When you turn your attention on Him, His attention is still on you. That's the amazing thing about worship. We don't worship to get. We worship to give. But the good thing about God is no matter what you give to Him, you will get more in return. It's like tithing. You may say, I can't afford to tithe. I would say you can't afford not to tithe, because I have been faithful to tithe in my life, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. I have never once missed a bill. I have never once gone without a meal. I have never once, you know, been late on a payment. You know why? Because I believe that God is faithful. That doesn't have anything to do with me. It has everything to do with God's faithfulness. And it's the same with worship and with praise, is that as we praise God, as we glorify God, as we honor God, we get more back than we could ever give to Him. Okay? It's amazing. It's like all the people in the Bible that came and fell down and worshiped Jesus, they gave Him worship, but they received healing. They gave Him worship, but they received a miracle. God He's moved by worship. He is compelled by worship. So worship is one of the best investments that you can make in your life. You know, because when you invest, the more you give, the more you get. Not all investments are like that. There's some investments that, you know, your return on interest is different, or your return on investment, I'm sorry, is different. But depending this, depending that, sometimes you invest money and you end up losing money. Sometimes you invest money and you end up gaining money. Well, with worship, when you invest worship, you always get more than you give. It's an incredible investment. It's an incredible return. So what we learn from this is the more I humble myself, the more I'll be exalted. Okay? He said in James chapter 4, verse 10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. I said it on Sunday. Worship is the truest form of humility. Because what you're doing is the word worship in the Hebrew literally means to bow or to stoop oneself. So what you're doing is you're saying, God, I'm lowering myself, not always just in a physical posture, but in a spiritual posture. God, in my soul, I'm lowering myself and saying that You are greater, You are higher. And He said, if you will humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, He will lift you up. So in the kingdom, things seem to work backwards. He says, the last will be first, the first will be last. And He says, if you humble yourself, I'll lift you up. But if you try to exalt yourself, you will be humbled. And what I want you to see about worship tonight is this, is that worship is a weapon, okay? It's a weapon against the enemy. When we sing, when we declare the words that we say, the things that we sing, when you are driving down the road and you're worshiping God, when you take that break at work, or when you wake up in the morning and you give glory to God, what you are doing is you're not wasting time. You're not just making melody. You are not just glorifying God. You are not just humbling yourself. You are not just setting yourself up for success, but you are beating back the enemy. You are driving him back with every word, with every syllable, with every note, with every glory that you give to God. You are defeating the enemy. And we see this in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, in Jehoshaphat, right? The Moabites and the Ammonites come against the people of Judah, and the prophet tells Jehoshaphat, send the worshipers first. And as Jehoshaphat, he puts all the singers, he puts all the musicians out in front, and they go marching out to battle, singing praise to God, glorifying Him. And when they get there, the enemy is utterly destroyed. They have fled seven ways. They are fighting each other. They're leaving spoil for the people of Judah to take over. So worship is an enemy. We see it in the Word of God. I've seen it in my life. When you worship, you are waging warfare against the enemy. And you know what I love about this is the enemy can't defend against your worship. He has zero defense. It's like fighting him, and he has no shield. He has no way to hide himself. He has no way to defend your worship. Okay? So when you worship, you're driving him back with every word, every time that you tell the Lord, I worship You. I honor You. I love You. I want to tell you a quick story here. Okay, I'm going to have to slow down a little bit. I'm going to tell you a quick story here. There's a lady by the name of Laurie Klein. I would venture to say no one's ever heard of her before. But the year was 1974. Okay, she was young. She was 24. 24 years old in 1974. She had gotten married a couple years before. She and her husband had a small little baby, a toddler, and he was studying forest technology at a small community college in Oregon. And they lived kind of out in the middle of nowhere, right off of a highway in a little mobile home. And she says that in that season of her life in 1974, it was the darkest and loneliest time of her life. She didn't really have a lot of stuff going on. They were strapped financially. I mean, they were a young couple. He was a full-time student. She's a stay-at-home mom. They didn't have a lot of money. He's busy with her studies, and so she spends most of her time alone in a mobile home with a baby because she didn't drive, so she couldn't go anywhere. They lived on a highway, and so she couldn't take the baby on walks because it was a dangerous road to walk on. There was no sidewalk or anything. Most of their neighbors in the mobile home park were elderly, and she says that they were not open to visitors. She tried to talk to them, and she says they seemed like they were just tired of living. They'd gotten to that point in life, and they didn't want to have anything to do with her or with the baby. So she had nowhere to go. She had nothing to do. She didn't have the money to even make long-distance phone calls. Because now, I know that y'all remember that there was a day when you had to pay for long-distance phone calls. I'm actually old enough to remember that, okay? At least I've heard about it. You had to make long-distance phone, and she didn't have the money to, her family was miles away. She didn't have any way to contact them. You couldn't send a text or get on Facebook. And so, she's lonely. She's just there by herself. But she says that she was determined to get up every morning and spend time with Jesus. That was one thing that she said, this is something that I can do. I can't go on a walk. I can't go to the store. I can't call my mom. I can't hang out with my neighbors, but I can get up and I can spend time with Jesus every single morning. And so she would decide, I'm going to get up before my baby wakes up. I'm going to make some coffee and I'm going to get my guitar and I'm going to get my Bible and I'm going to spend time with the Lord. Well, one morning, I read a story of her telling this story. She sat there with her guitar. She said she felt as empty as she'd ever felt before. You ever felt that way before? I've felt there where I'm like, God, I'm empty, I'm dry, I'm in a dark place, I'm lonely. We all get there as human beings, okay? You read the Psalms and you tell me David didn't feel dark and lonely and empty sometimes, okay? So she says she felt like she had nothing to offer to Jesus. You ever felt like that before? God, I got nothing to offer. And so she said, I got nothing to sing. So here's what she did. And you will find when you get gut level honest with God, things will begin to happen in your situation. Sometimes you just got to get to that point where you're not hiding. There's no pretenses. You're just like, God, here I am. Here's everything. And she told him, here's what she said. If you want me to sing to you, I'm going to need you to tell me what you want me to sing. She strummed her guitar, and out of her mouth came the words, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice. And she scribbled those little words down on the paper. And she thought, I'll never remember that again. Remember, she didn't have an iPhone to record it on real quick. She said, I don't know if I can remember that melody. And she strummed it. And she wrote that song that morning, spending time with God. Now, I'm so glad that she didn't forget those words and that she wrote that song. Because that song has ministered to me. And so many times, I remember, and I'm just being honest with you, I remember when I was a teenager, before I got really right with God, I would listen to music that I probably shouldn't have been listening to, that had lyrics that I shouldn't have been singing, I shouldn't have been saying. But I told my wife one time later, I said, you know what, and I forgot about this until right now, every time I would get a song stuck in my head that had something immoral or a curse word in it that I knew I shouldn't be singing, you know what song I would replace it with? I Love You, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you. And it would change my atmosphere. It would change my mindset. She also tells a story, Lori Klein, of 24 years later. Okay? If you do quick math, I'm sorry, 26 years later. Yeah. Because it was 1974. The year 2000. Whatever. 2000. Okay? She was at a DTS. If you're familiar with YWAM, that stands for Discipleship Training School. She and her husband were at a discipleship training school. This is the year 2000. Pretty much by 2000, everybody knows this song in Christianity, right? Well, she's in a service at this YWAM base, and she's standing in the back, and she hears down the hallway a baby crying. Okay? And she said she felt like the Lord told her, go down the hallway and just pray for peace for the mother and for the baby. Because she remembered those days when she had a toddler and that baby was crying and it was upset and there was nothing she could do. So she just slipped down the hall. She stood outside the door and the baby was crying. She began to pray. And the baby's crying and crying. All of a sudden, she hears this mother in the room with the baby say, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. And the baby fell asleep to the mom singing, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. And she said that was the single most monumental moment that she'd ever heard that song sing. I mean, it was a worldwide, I mean, it was at least a nationwide song by that point. And she said that mother had no idea that I'd even written that song or that I was even there standing outside the door. But she sang that song and it brought peace. And so here's the moral of the story. One, I just tell you it because it's a great story. But two, I tell you that because Laurie's song was her weapon against loneliness. It was her weapon against that dark, that empty feeling. But also her worship, her that one moment of worship went on to impact lives around the world. That mother that sang that song and her child went to sleep. Myself singing that song to replace bad songs that I knew I shouldn't be singing that was going to lead me to a negative choice or a negative feeling or a negative mindset. Her worship is still used as a weapon against the enemy today. So you never know what your worship is going to be. It's not just a tool in your hand or a weapon in your hand. It can become a weapon in somebody else's hand. You should look up the story of the song, Jesus Loves Me. You need to look. If you've never heard that story, I'm not going to go into it now, but look up how the song Jesus Loves Me was written. It's absolutely amazing. And the way that that song has impacted thousands, I would venture to say millions of people have been impacted by that song, Jesus Loves Me. But worship, here's the point. Worship will get you through things that nothing else can get you through. You will find yourself, there was nothing else that could get Laurie Klein through that moment of dark loneliness like worship could. Like pouring her heart out to God. And in fact, I heard a story years ago that this one pastor, he did a study. He heard that song, I Love You, Lord, for the first time in the 1980s. And he said that his church sang it all night long at a prayer meeting. They just sang it over. They were enamored. You know why? Because they had never heard a worship song say the words, I love you to God. And he got so moved by it that he did a study. He went through hymns. He went through worship choruses. He went through all kinds of songs. He could not find one recorded song that said, I love you, Lord, since David said it in the Psalms. Think about God up there saying, I love them. I want them to tell me that. You know, there's nothing like the person that you love telling you, hey, I love you, right? And imagine how God felt that morning in 1974 when Laura Klein said, I love you, Lord. Imagine what that did to his heart. Because when God, when he receives that worship and that glory and that love that he desires, that he created us for, it causes him to act and move on our behalf. So worship will get you through things that nothing else will. And here's the thing, I am all for godly counsel. I believe in it. In the multitude of counsel, there is safety. I believe in counseling. I know that Mr. Jeff is an excellent counselor. I believe in counseling 100%. I'm all about the preached word of God. Obviously, I'm preaching right now. We preach every Sunday morning. I'm all about it. I'm all about classes. I'm all about discipleship. I'm all about learning. I'm all about serving. I'm all about having fun. I'm all about prayer. But there's some things that you can do all of that stuff, but only worship can get you through it. All those things are great. And there are some things that only those things can get you through. But it's just like with any weapon or any tool, right? I am not, you know, I've heard stories of people shooting grizzly bears with 9mm and the bear still kills them and eats them. Okay? Because there are certain things, certain battles that you have to fight that you need the right weapon for, right? You're not going to defeat a grizzly bear with a .22. You know what I mean? Or even, I guess, a 9mm. You need something bigger. You need something more powerful. And so in some areas of our life, we need worship. Only worship will get us through. Sometimes only godly counsel will get us through. Sometimes only prayer will get us through. You need to know, what weapon am I needing to wage warfare with today? And sometimes it's worship. And the biggest thing is we don't feel like it. I just don't feel like worshiping, because worship will always cost you something. And that's why we don't feel like it, right? I just bought Madison tires the other day. Goodness. Everybody hates buying tires, right? You know that you need them. You know that you have to get them. You know they keep you safe, that you know that they, you know, you got to have them. But you still hate paying for them, right? You still hate when they tell you how much it is, you still go, you got to be kidding me. You're ridiculous. That's not okay. No, but sometimes with worship, we know that we need to worship, but we don't feel like worshiping. We know that it's beneficial, but we don't feel like putting in the effort. We don't feel like putting in the time. It's the same thing with prayer sometimes. So there are some times in your life when worship is the only answer. Maybe you've been there before. I'm sure you have your own stories, like Laura Klein has, where worship got you through a situation. I'm sure you have those through a difficult season, but it's amazing how we have seen worship make a huge difference in our life, but it's easy to forget and allow life to still bog us down with things. That would be like having a high-powered rifle at your disposal and a bear charging at you, and you reach for the 9mm because it's easier to get to, okay? Or you reach for a knife. Listen, don't bring a knife to a bear fight, okay? You've heard the old, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. Don't bring a knife to a bear fight, right? I'm sure there's some people that could. Actually, I have a friend who killed a bear with a knife. I just mad respect, you know? Anybody that kills a bear with a knife, I respect you. You're a man. Okay, anyways, it's easy to allow the problems of life to weigh us down and forget that worship is a weapon against those things. But here's something that I want to remind you of. As long as you're alive, you'll have problems. Amen. I know that's not encouraging, but sometimes you just need that reminder. As long as you live, stuff's going to go wrong, okay? It doesn't matter if you go and you live on the backside of the desert by yourself, things are still going to go wrong, right? Things are still going to happen that are bad. Bad things will never stop happening, nor will they still stop coming. That's why Jesus said, in this life, you will have tribulations. Not you might, not it's a possibility, but you will have tribulations. But he said, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. That's a reason enough to worship, that our King has overcome the world. He has already defeated the enemy. He is not going to one day defeat the enemy. He has already trampled the enemy, and he has defeated death, hell, and the grave through the work of the cross. He has the keys to hell. Amen? So our King has overcome the world, which leads me to Proverbs, because you're probably wondering, are we ever going to get to Proverbs tonight? I didn't forget about it. We are going to Proverbs. Because when we don't worship the one who overcame, we will be overcome by the world and the weight of tribulation. And I want to show you that in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Okay? Proverbs 12, verse 25. When we don't worship the one who overcame the world, we are overcome by the weight and the tribulations of the world. Listen, I know that if you just take a good, solemn look around what's going on, it'd be very easy to be overcome by what's happening in the world today. I mean, every day I find myself just shaking my head. It's just like, is this really happening? Is this really the world that I live in? Is this really America? Is this really a Christian nation? Is this really I look at what I see Christians and churches do, and I go, is this really where we've come to? Is this really who we are? And it's easy to begin to look at those things, but what I have to do is realign myself and go, I'm going to keep looking at you, Jesus. I'm going to keep my focus on you. I'm going to keep worshiping you. I'm going to keep praising you, because you said, in this world we will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. That word be of good cheer means keep your head up. It means take heart. It means be full of courage. Realize that He has already overcome the world. So anything that you're looking at that is depressing, that is saddening, that is just wrenching, He's already overcome it. So we shouldn't be overcome by it, because He's already overcome it. So Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. You may ask, what on earth does this have to do with worship? Let me explain. Let me build my case for just a second, okay? The word worship was first used in the Bible in Genesis chapter 22, verse 5, okay? It's found in the story when Abraham was instructed by God. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, the one whom you love, and I want you to sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. So Abraham wakes up the next morning. He gets his son. He gets his servants. He loads a mule. He begins to travel to Mount Moriah. They get to the base of the mountain. And in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 5, he turns to his servants and he says this to them. He says, "Stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." That's the first time worship is ever mentioned. Now, before this, there was offering and there was sacrifice, which were forms of worship. But the word worship in the Hebrew language, which is the word shaka, is used the first time in Genesis chapter 22 in verse 5, when Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. Now, you know the story. God provided a ram in the thicket, right? He didn't sacrifice his son. But that word shaka is found in the Old Testament 172 times. But that being the first instance in which it's found. And the definition of the word shakah, I already said it earlier, is to bend down or to stoop or to bow. It means to lower oneself. So it's only found in Proverbs once. And the place it's found is in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25. Because it says, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes shakah." Some translations say to stoop. Anxiety in the heart of man causes it to worship. That's what it literally says. It's the same word that Abraham used in Genesis 22, verse 5. It's the same word that is used 171 other times in the Old Testament. Is in Proverbs 12, 25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes it to shakah, causes it to bow down, causes it to stoop, causes it to lower itself. So, here's what I want to explain to you by that. Because it's not actually saying that anxiety causes you to worship God. That's not what it's saying. It should, because in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it says of Jehoshaphat feared and set his heart to seek the Lord. So when anxiety comes knocking at your door, you have two decisions. Am I going to stoop to the world, or am I going to stoop to God? Am I going to bow to the world, or am I going to bow to God? Am I going to be overcome by depression, or am I going to overcome depression? Am I going to be overcome by worry, or am I going to overcome worry? Am I going to be overcome by insecurity, or am I going to overcome insecurity? Am I going to be, the list could go on and on and on. Anxiety in the heart of man causes it to shakas, causes it to stoop. So you have the decision, am I going to stoop before God, or am I going to stoop before man? Am I going to bow before the world, or am I going to bow before God? Am I going to bow before anxiety, or am I going to bow before the King of Kings who has already overcome the world? That's what the writer of Proverbs, that's what Solomon is trying to show us, is you can either worship or you can worry, but you can't do both. You can't worship and worry at the same time. You can be anxious or you can praise the Lord. You can be fearful or you can fear God. You can be upset, you can be worried, you can be angry, but a life with no worship of the King is a life with no peace, no security, and no happiness. Because what does it say? Anxiety in the heart of man causes it to stoop. That word is also translated into our language, depression. And I want you to know today, in this world, you will have tribulation. Amen. There will be anxiety. There will be fears. There will be doubts. There will be moments of insecurity. But be of good cheer. What does that mean? Keep worshiping. Keep praising. Stay in faith. And here's the answer. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25, it says, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes it to stoop, causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." What's a better word than worship? What better words are there to say than, "I love you, Lord, and I lift up my voice"? What better words are there to say than, "God, I give you all the glory. God, I give you all the praise. God, I'm not going to put my eyes on the waves that are scary. God, I'm not going to look at all the bad things that are happening, but I'm going to look at you. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on you." What is a better word than praise and than worship? So if you feel anxious, if you feel worried, if you feel doubtful, if you feel hopeless, if you feel insecure, realize this, we all do it sometimes. Nobody is invincible. There are times you look at the strongest leaders in the Bible, David, Moses, Abraham, Peter, Paul, Gideon, you name it, all the people, Solomon in the Bible, you will see moments of weakness in their life. Why? Because they were still men. Esther, Deborah, whoever, Mary, there were still moments of weakness in their life. There were moments of fear. There were moments of anxiety, of being worried, of being doubtful, of being hopeless, of being insecure. But the thing is the ones that we look at the most, and that we respect and that we want to be like, they understood that in the middle of my darkest moment, the only place that I can turn to find a light in the dark, to find hope in the midst of hopelessness, is to Jesus. I'm going to worship Him. It's like Laurie Klein. She was in a dark season, but she decided, I'm not going to abandon my time with Jesus. Because that's what the enemy would love to do in your life more than anything, is to get you to be too busy to spend time with Jesus. Listen, you're never too busy to sleep time with Jesus. You just sleep too much or work too much to do it. Okay? So he would love you to think that there's no point in serving God. He would love to get you to fall into this depression, this anxiety. But you choose and you decide, when I get afraid, when I get anxious, when I'm scared, when I'm worried, when I'm upset, I'm going to look to God. I love what David said in Psalm chapter 61, verse 2. You can turn there with me. The reason we didn't spend a long time in Proverbs is because that's the only time worship is mentioned in Proverbs, okay? So don't judge me. Psalm chapter 61, because here's the deal, is sometimes you may say, well, I'm not really anxious. I'm not really worried. I'm not really doubtful. I'm not really hopeless. I'm not really insecure. I'm not really mad. But sometimes we do get overwhelmed, right? And here's what David said. Really, he prayed in Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. To me, that's worship in the purest form. Because what he was saying is, God, you're greater, you're higher, you're better, you're more powerful, you're all-knowing, you are higher than I am in every single aspect of my life. So if you feel overwhelmed, just worship God. Maybe you, I'm telling you, maybe you scroll through Facebook and you just start getting overwhelmed. Oh my goodness, I can't believe this happened. Pastor Lauren and I were talking earlier. Now, you know, Dr. Seuss is being canceled, right? I mean, it's just one thing after another. And guess what? It's not going to change. Unless we change. Unless we are the, because you are the agent of change. I am the agent of change. And you know the best way that you can make a difference is wage warfare on the enemy through the weapon of worship. It's not to get on Facebook and comment, this is stupid, y'all are being ridiculous, what's happening to America? Because all they're going to do is say, you're a crazy conservative and you're angry and you're part of the problem and you're a racist. So that's not the way that you fight it. The way that you fight it is you get on your knees, you lift your hands, you bow before the Lord and you say, God, I am waging warfare against the spirit of confusion that is over our nation. God, I'm going to praise you even though my heart is overwhelmed, even though I'm a little worried, even though I'm a little anxious, even though I'm a little bit upset. I'm not going to let it come over me, but I'm going to come underneath submission of you, God, because you are over all things. So I want to give you this picture. When anxiety comes, when overwhelming moments come, David said, lead me to you that is higher than I. Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in the man causes it to stoop, causes it to bow, causes it to go down. So you have depression, you have overwhelming, you have hopelessness right here, and you have Psalm 91, he who abides in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of his wings. And listen, the Bible says that all things are under his feet. Okay? Jesus is Lord over all. He has already triumphed over death, hell, and the grave. So you can choose to go underneath and stoop under the depression, the worry, the anxiety, the fear, the doubtful thoughts, the anger. Sometimes you may say, well, I'm not really fearful, I'm not really worried, but I am mad, okay? Right? I'm mad when I look at how things are going. Well, what you need to do is you need to be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. The wrath of man shall never produce the righteousness of God. So what you need to do is you need to bow yourself in a position of worship and get underneath him, because you can either be under the world or you can be under him, but you can't be under both. And so we have a choice every single moment that we feel overwhelmed, that we feel, you know, like hopeless and we feel anxious. We need to decide, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, when my heart is overcome within me, lead me to the rock. So here's what worship does. Worship plants your feet back on the firm foundation of His faithfulness. I want to go, we're going to end by going to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1. David prays and he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me. That means he came down on my level. He came to where I was, and He heard my cry. He also brought me out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. So what David, in essence, is saying is, you know what? At some point in time in my life, I did succumb to depression. I did succumb to anxiety. I did bow to worry. I did bow to insecurity. I did bow to fear. I did bow to all these things that we're talking about. But I waited for the Lord, and I cried to Him, and He inclined to me, and He heard my cry. And He says, He brought me out of the miry clay, and here's what He did. He set my feet upon the rock, and He established my steps. When you cry out to God, even if you have subjected yourself to the overwhelming things of the world, to the tribulations of the world, to the anxiety of the world, to the hopelessness that the world is just peddling right now, all you have to do is cry out to God. And He will reach into the depths of that anxiety, into the depths of that depression, into the depths of that fear. And He will bring you up, and He will set your feet upon the rock. He will establish my steps. Here's what He says next. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside from you. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare them and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. If you look over at Psalm chapter 139, David also prays and he says that the thoughts that you think towards me, I can't number them. They outnumber the sands of the sea. Did you know that you can't number how many grains of sand there are in the world? You can't. Scientists, everybody, you know, people have tried and tried and tried to put a number on how many grains of sand there are in the world, and they can't do it. The best mathematicians in the world can't figure out how many grains of sand. It's a number that just goes on and on and on and on and on. And he said, your thoughts outnumber the grains of sand. Realize how big and how vast and how good and how mighty God is. So when that situation comes at you, when that tribulation comes upon you, when that problem arises, when that hopelessness tries to set in, when you start feeling overwhelmed, realize He is so much bigger than anything that is in this world, than anything that my mind can even possibly compute, because I am finite and He is infinite. And so I'm just going to worship the one that knows how many hairs are on my head. And Lord knows it's a few less than it used to be. And I believe that I'm just going to keep worshiping Him. I'm going to keep praising Him. I'm going to keep glorifying Him. I'm going to keep honoring Him, because I can either stoop to the world or I can stoop to God. And I'm going to choose to humble myself in the sight of the Lord. And in due time, I know that He will exalt me. David said, He put a new song in my mouth. I'm praying that if you've been depressed, you've been overwhelmed, you've been upset, you've been mad, that this week God would put a new song in your mouth. Just like Laura Klein opened her mouth and sang a new song that nobody had ever heard before. And now millions of people know that song. I'm praying God would give you a new song. I'm not saying that Hillsong is going to have to record your song, because your song may not be as good as her song was. Let's just be honest. But it'll be your song to God. It'll be what He put inside of your heart. I'm praying that God would put a new song of praise and of worship. Because here's what I've noticed, is that worship, and we see this through the Scripture, worship is the antidote to depression. Worship is the antidote to anxiety. Worship is the antidote to fear, to worry, also to complaining. Because James said, bitter water and fresh water, they can't come out of the same spring. Okay? So I'm reading through Numbers right now. And so I'm realizing that it says that the people complained against Moses and complained against the Lord. And so the Lord just opened up the ground and swallowed them up. He hated complaining that much. That makes me go, oh my goodness, I don't want to complain. Because in the New Testament it says, do all things without grumbling or complaining, without disputing or complaining. I don't want to be a complainer. I want to be a worshiper. Because I can either go to God with my complaints or I can go to God with my praise. Right? I heard somebody say the other day, heaven doesn't have a complaint department. Okay? So we need to rid ourselves of all of our complaints. You know why heaven doesn't have a complaint department? Because there's nothing to complain about there. It's perfect. It's immaculate. And you know what we're going to do in heaven? We're going to worship. We're going to praise. We're going to take the crowns off of our head that He crowns us with, the crown of life, the crown of righteousness. All those crowns, we're going to take them off. And the Bible says we're going to lay them at the feet of Jesus. You know why? Because when you see the beauty of who He is, and how great He is, and how awesome He is, you are moved within yourself to give Him the only thing that you have to give. And right now, in our life, I want to encourage you, give Him what you have to give. It may not seem like much, but worship is the antidote. So here's what I'm saying to you tonight. Take your medicine. The medicine is worship. Worship is a healing balm for your soul. It will fix things that nothing else can fix. Like I said earlier, I'm all for anointing people with oil and laying hands on. I'm all for, classes. I'm all for preaching. I'm all for counseling. I'm all for all this other stuff that we do. It's all great. But I also believe that we need to worship God. When we are not worshiping, we are not fulfilled in our being, in who we are. Because we were created and made to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So anytime you are not doing something that you're supposed to be doing, you're unfulfilled. Maybe you've been there in life before. You're like, I just feel like I'm not fulfilling my purpose. There's nothing more hopeless than not fulfilling your purpose. So when you're not worshiping, you're not fulfilling your purpose. So therefore, you're hopeless. That's why anxiety in the heart of man causes it to stoop, because you're always worshiping something. Some people worship their feelings. Some people worship their emotions. Some people worship the president. Some people worship sports. You're always worshiping something, because the worship in English, worship means excessive devotion. Okay? Anything that you are excessive about, you are worshiping. Anything that you devote the majority of your time to, that you are excessive about, that you can't stop thinking about, that you just, it just drives you, it motivates you, you're worshiping that thing. And we've got to make sure that we are more excessive about God than we are anything else. Because if I've heard a preacher say one time, He's either Lord of all or not at all. There's no in between. And when we worship, we are saying, God, I am putting priority on You. And worship keeps you closer to Him. Worship brings you, in fact, Psalm chapter 100 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise, right? So when we worship, when we praise, and I'm not going to take time to get into it tonight, about the difference between praise and worship. Okay, we're talking about worship. There's a difference between praise and worship. If there wasn't, there wouldn't be two different words for it. And there's different definitions. There's different ways to praise God, and then there's worship. Okay? And just a very simple definition is praise is about God, worship is to God. Okay? So it's not about, we have this idea that praise is fast, upbeat songs. No, praise is more about what you say, not how you say it. Worship is more about what you say and how you say it than the tempo of the music or the style. Oh, that's a worship song or that's a praise song. No, what it's saying is what makes it a praise or a worship song. And we could break down what praise is, but tonight we're talking about worship. Worship simply means to lower yourself before God and to give devotion to Him, to pay homage to Him. So take your medicine. Worship the Lord in the beauty of the holiness. Bow down before the Lord so you don't bow before the pressures of life. Because you will. You and I cannot. We may think that we can handle the pressures of life, but we can't. That's why daily I need to get on my knees and say, You are Lord and I'm not. I worship You. You're my God. You're my Savior. You're my healer. You're my helper. Because if I don't bow before Him, I will end up bowing under temptation. I will end up bowing under frustration. I will end up bowing under anxiety. And so I bow before God. And I love that old saying. It may seem cheesy. It may seem cliche. But if you bow before God, you can stand before anyone. Amen. Right? That's like the Hebrew boys. They would not bow before Nebuchadnezzar's graven image. And he said, You're going to get thrown into the fiery furnace. And they said, That's all right, because even if we do, God will save us. But even if He doesn't, we're still not going to bow. Why? Because they were people that bowed before God. And so they had submitted themselves to Him and in worship and in devotion to Him. And so therefore, they didn't bow to Nebuchadnezzar. But if they hadn't bowed in their private time before God, I guarantee you they wouldn't have been able to stand in a public place. And we're coming to a day and age in our life, in our culture, where you're going to have to start standing up. The line is going to be drawn more and more clearly. Who is on the right? Who is on the left? Who? And I'm not talking about political. I'm talking about kingdom. Who is the sheep went on the right and the goats went on the left. God is about to start separating his flocks and saying, these are sheep and these are goats. These are mine and these are not. These are saved and these are not saved. And we've got to be people who bow before God so that we don't bow under the pressure and the tribulations of the world. Amen. Stand to your feet tonight if you would. Let's be people of worship. Amen. That even in the darkest season, one thing I love about that story about Laurie Klein is she wasn't a circumstantial worshiper. I talked about that Sunday morning. Let's not be circumstantial worshipers that we only worship when everything's good. Let's be people that worship all the time, no matter what's taking place in our life. Amen. If you would close your eyes with me tonight, let's just pray. Father, I thank you that we have the privilege and the opportunity to worship you, God. And I pray that inside of each and every one of us, there would be a drive and a desire to glorify you and to honor you, God. I pray that we would be worshipers of your goodness, worshipers of your character, God. As the Bible says, to glorify your name and to lift it up, God, we say that you are mighty, that you are holy, God. And I pray that throughout all the days of our life, God, that this wouldn't just be we heard a sermon about it, so for a couple days we do it. But God, let us be people who live and walk and breathe and talk lives of worship, who bow before you so that we don't bow before the world, so that we don't get stooped down and dragged down by depression or anxiety or fear or hatred or worry. But God, we want to bow before you and before you alone. We say that you are the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. We worship you, magnify you, and glorify you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. 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 May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace.